Welcome to Country Fried Rock. This week, we're talking with Justin Towns Earl. Over the last year or so, he's released a couple of new records from his current label, Vagrant. First, Single Mothers, and then Absent Fathers. Not exactly a double album, more like companion albums. Speaking of companions, this is the first time we've done a live in-studio interview for Country Fried Rock. I was hanging out in Columbia, South Carolina at a radio station with my friend Mike Allen, and Mike knew that I'm a fan of Justin's, so he invited me into the station and let me sit in on part of this interview. I held on to this for a while because of the different format, but it's a great conversation, so we're going to go ahead and share it. A slightly different format for Country Fried Rock with Justin Towns Earl.
I'm Justin Towns Earl, and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm actually born and raised there, rare thing.
Okay, and our friend Sloan, tell her about who you are.
Oh, hey, I'm Sloan Spencer. I host Country Fried Rock. I'm originally from Atlanta, but I currently live in Back Swamp, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And welcome to the big city. Oh, yeah. You mentioned Nashville. I was reading a little bit background for this. You're living in New York now?
Well, I had been living in New York, some family things. I had to do some things for my mother, so it made good sense at the time to go where it's a little cheaper so I could, do those things. And I definitely miss New York in a big way, but I have a feeling that if I hadn't left, I wouldn't have met my wife probably, which would have been, I'd still be continuing on my lethargic, disappointed in life way.
that's a hard way to look at it, I guess. Yeah. Different places bring out, I think, different sounds for artists. Is there a difference between Nashville and New York for you sonically? Does it do anything to the writing?
It does. I think New York was so inspiring. There was just songs came in a bit more of a flood there because you were just surrounded by all these intense things. You just have people that are the best at what they do, and it's a constant competition. You can be gone tomorrow, and even working in a clothing store in New York, so there was very much the people that you're around you're not going to say like, how you doing to somebody, and they're going to be like, well, I don't have a job and I'm sitting around the apartment and I'm doing this. Everybody's like, well, I got this going on and I'm doing this, or I'm trying to do this. And it's a very interesting place to live for that reason.
Slow.
Well, it's interesting. You just actually did something that was one of my questions, was you're animated and up-tempo when talking about some pretty serious content. And I see that, or hear that at least, in a lot of your songs as well. How do you express that contrast?
A lot of my fans do find, they think that my songs are very autobiographical and things like that, which they're not so much. I definitely know what I'm talking about, because I think that's the first rule to songwriting is know, at least have your interpretation of the feelings that you're going for. But, I think that, I don't know, I think if I'm confused every time I make a record, and I don't think I want to get to the day where I don't question whether my record is good. And, every night on stage, I turn to Paul, my guitar player, and be like, is everything, like, is the rhythm okay and all this? Because I don't think that it is a very good thing to be. I'm sure myself as far as a performer and, as a writer, but I just don't think that it's, to be an artist, you can't know everything. You got to still have stuff to learn, I think.
Hey, y'all, this is Sloan Spencer, the host of Country Fried Rock. We've had an incredible year with more people finding us on the radio and our podcast than we ever imagined. Thank you all so much. Careful what you wish for. You just might get it. Here's more from my live in-studio conversation with Justin Towns Earl.
I've seen a couple of pieces where you've described your music, instead of putting it in another sort of label, you would describe it as Southern American. What is Southern American?
Well, basically, with the exception of some forms of music today, well, and still kind of, the every bit of American music, popular music, with the exception of hip-hop and things like that, came, the ideas, the starting point of it was all in the Southeast, where you have mountain music coming from the Scotch-Irish that settled in this region and up in North Carolina, bluegrass from flatland Kentucky in the West, Nashville with country, Memphis, you have jazz in New Orleans, and then the Delta, and everything comes together at Memphis and becomes rock and roll. So I think Southerners should, and if they try, should have a better connection to that, because it's in, we understand the language a little bit better. We can, they talk like we do, which was a number, like when I heard Woody Guthrie for, as an example, it, I realized that I could do this because I realized that I could actually sing better than Woody Guthrie. So I decided that it was, I could at least try.
I'm always interested in the contrast, and like my previous question as well, but as a Southerner, I think we kind of live with and accept contrasts as part of who we are and what we do. I'm noticing a little bit more of the Southern contrasts coming out in these last two records specifically.
Yeah, I feel like that we have in the South, and then some places like Louisiana especially, we have the most distinct culture in America. Nobody has the huge difference in food. Nobody has the huge difference in culture. And it's a completely different world and very alien to the rest of the United States. A lot of misconceptions, and we have a lot of misconceptions about the North. But the South has always been it's always been home. I do feel very comfortable in the South, and I think that I stayed away from kind of a lot of Southern mentality, a lot of Southern imagery for a while, because I didn't want to be just labeled a Southern musician. I didn't want to get stuck in that old-timey country thing. I made my first record, The Good Life, and it taught me a lot of things, because I, especially as far as contrast goes, because the contrast between my crowd when I put out The Good Life and now just in Who Gathers is, I noticed that I was going to have the Grand Ole Opry crowd. I was going to have an older crowd. And let's face it, nobody needs a crowd that's going to die in 20 years. So that's, I started because of that. I was completely disappointed when I did the Grand Ole Opry. I found it very just mechanical and strange. And so I knew I didn't want to be a part of that world. I wanted a younger audience. And I do have I have entire families of father, son, and mother that come to the show. I have, girls that at least look like they're 18 to 25, and then middle-aged couples. And so it's very much a scattered crowd, and also something that I'm very proud of it, because, that's a very wide-reaching kind of audience there. Not like I draw gigantic crowds or anything. It's just the contrast between those crowd is incredible, and it's helped me change what I do, because the crowd's gone along with me. I'm sure I've lost a lot of the fans from the first record, and that's fine. I only piss off all the right people, I feel. And so that's
a goal in life.
Yeah. And so I think that's the South, and making sure that there is a fairly vast contrast between my previous records and the new ones is very, very important to what I do. You don't want to ever be asking yourself the question, is this art? I don't think. So In order to do that, you have to pay respect to the past and gather what you want from your current. Let's play Today in a Lonely Night. It's become one of my favorite songs to play, and one of those things again where I think I'm lucky that I have a crowd that will listen to things like this, and most of the time you won't really hear a sound unless it's a free show in Murrell's Inlet.
Right.
Hey y'all, this is Sloane Spencer, the host of Country Fried Rock. Those of y'all who listen on our podcasts, it's a quick hit of Just the Conversation. If you want the full radio program with all the songs that we talk about, ask for it on your local radio station, joining 20 other stations across the country. Get the goods at countryfriedrock.org. I'm Sloane Spencer, your host of Country Fried Rock. I've had the pleasure of catching Justin Towns Earl perform both solo, duo, and with a full band over the last couple of years, and I recommend you catch one of his shows. Here's more from my live in-studio conversation with Justin Towns Earl.
This dichotomy here, and they actually look dramatically different. Tell me about what used to be a double album became two single albums.
I thought better of the situation that I was in. I'd I'd gone from Bloodshot Records, which was a great relationship. They were on as stand-up as you can be. When they said the check was coming, the check showed up, you know, things like that, which is hard to find. And then I went to Communion Records, which I was told something completely different from what they tried to do when I had signed the contract. Luckily, they didn't sign it. And I was able to just be like, you know, you're not going to shake money in my face and win. You know, there's no way that's going to work. You know, and anybody who knows me knows that. So there was also a timing issue. Releasing a double record is hard to convince people of. It's hard to get people these days to, they don't have the time to sit down and listen to a full hour of music, you know, and they don't have the attention span, I don't think. And from the very beginning, when I made The Good Life, I actually looked up what the average commute for an American to work was. And so, therefore, all my records have been 30 to 40 minutes. That's what I've noticed most people listen to music is in their car. And just making the records digestible, letting people get really in use to the record, the first one. And if they pay attention to the first one, then Absent Fathers comes out, and they're very, they are related, but related in the same way that both Discs of the River are, Springsteen's The River, because they're not like concept records exactly, but they have loose concepts to them. The characters in Absent Fathers are definitely in a different place, not discouraged by life, realizing that they're seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, even though it's like the tip of a ballpoint pen way off in the distance.
We've been talking about all these contrasts and dichotomy in the double album that became two separate albums. I have been interested in the continuity of your album covers. Are you involved in the visual art decision making? Because, like, didn't Joshua do some of your photography?
Yeah, he did, but I am I'm 100% part of the creation of them. We decided, me and Joshua were like trying to figure out what a record cover we should do, and we'd thrown out a bunch of ideas, and I said, well, what about just me and a girl on the album cover? And we carried that on for quite a while, every record, but now my wife is on the cover of Absent Fathers with me, and she will be the last woman on the cover of one of my records. but it was an interesting thing to do for the fans. In a minor way, they became like Bond girls. You know, people were very interested in who these women were. And so it was a funny thing. You know, we realized when we made the next Midnight at the Movies that we were just like, we're going to do this every time. And I would have probably continued it if I hadn't gotten married.
You mentioned past troubles with record companies. The relationship with Vagrant feels good?
Vagrant feels good. It's impressive to be able to survive to have been able to survive the 90s and early 2000s as a smaller record label, and they're no longer a smaller record label. They're one of the bigger independent record labels, and that's impressive. You know, they obviously know what they're doing. And I think that being able to doing these records, I needed people that would understand. I have so many people say that these are country records, and Vagrant realizes that they're not country records. I personally have an extremely narrow view of what country music is. And I think that Hank Williams would have no problem shooting just about anybody that's a country star these days. I just don't think he would have trouble with that. If I called what I do country music, he'd probably shoot me.
I'm your host, Sloan Spencer. You can keep in touch with us on Facebook, but I really like Twitter, where we are at Country Fried Rock, ending with R-O-K. And if you want to see pictures of my shoes, my dog, and my lunch, stop by Instagram. But whatever way you like to hang out, stop by and say hey. We'd like to send a big thank you to our Country Fried Rock listeners for supporting Country Fried Rock alum Alan Thompson, who is recovering from a diving accident. If you'd like to donate, every dollar matters, and it goes directly to helping defray his bills. You can find that link on Country Fried Rock's Facebook or Twitter. It's a You Caring donation page. Keep your ears peeled for a few different benefit shows in the Nashville area for Alan Thompson. We love you, man. Get better soon. We'll go back to my conversation live in the studio with my friend Mike Allen and Justin Towns Earl.
Around the Bend is a, you know, it's one of those the songs where you has a cavalier attitude, a very unrepentant attitude about it. And I think that it's like we said earlier, I do like to talk very upbeat about very dark situations and things like this. And I actually wrote it from a dealer I went to. He was around a bend, always in a dead end. You know, this is a little bit more autobiographical than most.
I've actually gotten to see you several times over the last couple of years, and I've noticed that a lot of your songs have really grown since they were originally recorded. How do your songs continue to change?
Well, I couldn't really explain it until I heard Big Spiderbeck, a quote from him that said, somebody asked him to play a chorus like he did on a record. They said they wanted to hear that specific chorus, and he said, well, I can't. And they were like, well, why? And he said, because I never feel the same twice. So the songs can change nightly, tempo-wise, just depending on how I'm going that night and things like that. But like the show tonight, it's just me and my guitar player, Paul, and he also plays pedal steel. So the songs have to change quite a bit to do that, because we have to fill up that space in order to keep from being a boring, regular old acoustic act, which it needs to be something a little more than that, I feel, to represent the records. But that doesn't always mean that you need to play them exactly like you do on the record. You know, a lot of times you start playing them on the road and you find that little thing where you're like I wish I'd had that for the record, you know. And that always happens, because you get out on the road with it. I'll change a little lyric every now and then. I'll change the melody of songs and make them faster, make them slower. And so it's a constantly evolving thing, especially with the band, because me and my guitar player and my bass player are parts guys. They play parts. Me and the drummer are in no way parts players. You know, you don't know what you're going to get from us every night, but you know we're going to be there when it's time to hit the one, you know. And that's me and my drummer. I've been by the bass player, Mark Hedman, has played with him, Matt Pence, for, you know, almost 20 years. And so that's what Mark said early on. He's like, you just have to trust Matt that he's going to be there. He will be, you know. And so playing with him has made me a lot, I think, a better, more adventurous guitar player than I was, too. And it makes it it's great.
Do you ever work things on the road before you go in the studio, or no? Is it always after the fact?
Well, we do a little bit. I try not to do too much, just because there's certain spontaneity with everything. Every aspect of a record is very, I think that's very important. People who rehearse too much, I mean, you can tell it. You can be a great, great band. I mean, the best players in the world. But if you're too on top of it, you know, it seems inhuman. And it's kind of boring after a while, because you just know all this stuff is going to happen. It's going to be clean as a whistle. There's nothing dirty about that. And when you clean it up too much and make it kind of squeaky clean, that's, you lose me there. You know, you lose me completely. I'm very much influenced by Billie Holiday as a singer. I will never land on the one as a singer. I come in late, and late to where it scares bass players and things that, you know, aren't prepared for it. I don't agree with perfectly tuned. I don't agree with a lot of rehearsal, because I hire my musicians because I trust my musicians to do. And every musician in my band I've been watching since I was a teenager. They're all at least 10 years older than me. And so it's amazing having them, and it hasn't disappointed me after all this time. Paul was in Calexico for about 10 years, and Matt Pence and Mark Hedman were in one of my favorite bands ever called Centromatic out of Denton, Texas. I know they broke up, and I saw that me and my wife went to the show in Nashville, and I couldn't help it. I saw them a few weeks later, and I was just like, man, the show was great, but It felt like a funeral, you know? It felt like a funeral, like a band that had been around for almost 20 years and just been consistent. They never made any money, but they made amazing records. And they're that band that you're just like, why? Why? You know, kids and all kinds of things happen. You know, I can't blame them for wanting to take a rest from it, but I'm pretty sure that in about four years, we will have another Centromatic record. They may not tour, but I think there will be another Centromatic record. It's too good to not do. And plus, I want to make a record with Centromatic. It's my backing band. Thank you so much for having me, and get there early to see Gil Landry. He's quite a performer.
Thanks for joining us for this slightly different take on a country fried rock conversation with Justin Towns Earl. You can let me know on Facebook or Twitter your thoughts on today and future shows. We appreciate you. CountryFriedRock.org. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Our 2015 bed music is from Drivin' and Cryin's debut album, Scarred But Smarter. Got a great band you want to hear on Country Fried Rock? The best thing to do is tweet us at Country Fried Rock. That's Country Fried R-O-K.
You can subscribe to our weekly podcast on iTunes. Just search Country Fried Rock. Country Fried Rock radio programs are distributed to public radio through the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org. Our Country Fried Rock stinger is from Steve Soto and the Twisted Hearts.
Ever he been helping us from Country Fried Rock.
Hey y'all, it's Sloane Spencer. Thanks so much for finding all these new old episodes of Country Fried Rock. I've got something completely different available these days called Sleep with Rock Stars. And it all started from a listener comment back in the very early days of Country Fried Rock who said, you know, I slow these down to 75% and fall asleep to them. And I was like, well, over the years, I started thinking about it, and I recently started Sleep with Rock Stars. It's the Gen X Sleep Podcast, and you can find it at sleepwithrockstars.com or your favorite podcast app.